Welcome back, everybody, to the White Rose Resistance Hour here on Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm not Stuart Howe. This is Casey Whalen filling in as a guest host for Stuart Howe today. Stuart couldn't make the show today, and he asked if I could do the show for him, and absolutely honored to be here today. So I just wanted to make sure that we take care of this great network that we have, you know, that we all get a chance to be part of in some way, shape, or form. Please, if you can, send a donation to RBN, and you can do that by calling 1-800-724-2719 extension 3, or else you can send a check or money order to RBN, and then you can send that to 2251 Double Creek Drive, number 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. So I'll repeat that again maybe later on in the show. And just an interesting time to be alive here in the world. Let's bring on our co-host. I got a co-host for us today also. We have Rochelle Emery in North Idaho. Rochelle, can you hear me?
Hi, Casey. I'm here.
All right. Can hear you just great. All right. Well, thanks for being here. And so I just really quickly, I have a video platform called North Idaho Exposed, and it's on all the major video platforms where you can go see different activism or interviews, just all kinds of different things. And then Rochelle, talk about what you do. What are you doing? And you're part of an organization, and what are you passionate about? What are you doing up there?
Well, I am one of the North Regional Leaders for Health Freedom Idaho, and we have been fighting for bodily autonomy and health freedom for the last 7 years, and the last 2 years have been intense for us, and we've been fighting really hard for health freedom for all. And I'm just passionate about, you know, people getting to choose what they put into their bodies. And I'm passionate about homeschooling and parental rights and just freedom in general. So lots of local activism and rallies and radio shows and social media and just all the things that embody activism, you know. Just trying to educate and spread the word and inspire other people to fight for their rights too.
Yeah, we've been very busy the last couple of years with the whole COVID madness. So, and you ladies at Health Freedom Idaho, go look at their website, healthfreedomidaho.org. Just fantastic people. You don't want to mess with these mama bears. They're getting it done, and great inspiration. So I really thank you, all you ladies, for what you do at healthfreedomidaho.org. Great.
.com right now, actually.
It's a .com. Okay, you changed it.
Yeah, our .org has been fritzy, but .com worked for me today. They just, you know, we're speaking too much truth, so they got to mess with us, right?
Yeah, I guess so. Well, let's bring on our guest. We got a wonderful guest here. We have Alan Myers, and he's a forensic accountant, and Alan is in San Diego, California. For the last 10 years, he's dedicated himself to researching, studying, and analyzing the Federal Reserve System, banking, and the national debt. Alan is a writer, speaker, and radio commentator on these and other related subjects. The national monetary system is the most powerful system in our country because everything in our country is connected to it. Unfortunately, says Alan, the system was not designed to work in the best interest of the people or our country. Thank you for joining us today, Alan Myers. Appreciate you coming on.
Thank you, Casey. Happy to be here. Hi, Rochelle.
Hey, Alan. How are you doing? It's been a long time.
It's been a while. Just so everybody knows, Rochelle and I know each other, and she has actually been on my program, which is called For the Republic, on Sundays, Patriot Soapbox, 5 to 7 p.m. West Coast time. So, yeah, we go back a ways. Anyway, Casey, thanks for having me on.
It's good to hear your voice.
Back at you.
And if you folks out there listening, if you'd like to, you can go to Alan's website. That's fed.ed.us, fed.ed.us. And so I met Alan at the Red Pill Expo last June, and that was really great. There's an interview where Alan is discussing, five women, notable women of history, and he gave a speech at the Red Pill Expo in South Dakota last year, Alan. And, just our interview, I didn't get a chance to see your speech because I was busy doing other stuff, but just that the information you had was just dynamite. So I just really commend you, and hopefully we'll see you at the next Red Pill Expo.
Well, thank you. For those who are interested, if you do, and thank you for saying my website, if you do go to fed.ed.us, that's fed.ed.us, and once the screen comes up, you go to the top where it says For the Republic Show. You click on that. When the screen comes on, there is a link to the video of me speaking at Red Pill on my topic that day, Five Women of the American Revolution.
Excellent.
So if you want to check it out, these women, to me, were absolutely amazing. They put it all on the line, and they had the perfect excuse not to.
Can you just give us one example? Because I love that. That was just such a brilliant speech.
Thank you. Yeah, I'll pull this one. I mean, every one of them, I got to know a little bit, and they became somebody I wish I could have met. But the last woman I spoke about, Deborah Sampson. This woman did not have an easy life. She eventually this is near the end of the Revolutionary War, and she decides that, and there's a quote from her that is something to the effect, "Why shouldn't I fight for my country too?" So for a year and a half, she dresses and fights in the American Revolution as a man. She leads troops into battle. She gets into hand-to-hand combat. She gets cut in the forehead with a sword. After a year and a half, she finally succumbs to an illness. They take her to a hospital, and the medical team figures out this is not a guy. So for a year and a half, she fought in the Revolution as a man. Afterwards, after they figured out this is not a guy, they released her from service. She earned a pension. I think around 1801, she actually went on a speaking tour to talk about what she did. But the way I ended her presentation was, okay, imagine, and she eventually got married, had two or three children. So imagine for a moment you are a child and your mother is Deborah Sampson. You know she fought in the war, in the Revolutionary War, as a man. You know the rifle on the wall is hers, and she just told you to do your chores. You think you got an argument? And do you think she ever said to any of your children, wait till your father gets home? I don't think so. And do you mind if I think my memory will serve me. Do you mind if I say the closing I did in that speech?
Of course not. Go ahead. Okay.
So the closing, I just spoke about five women, every one of them a hero to me. And my closing was, to the women of the American Revolution I spoke about today, to the women of the American Revolution I've yet to speak about, to all the ladies I say this, thank you, thank you, thank you. You are my heroes, and I stand in your shadows, women of the American Revolution.
That's great.
Love it.
And I just found them really inspiring, and I generally speaking, most people have never heard their names. The only one that some people would know of is Sybil Shepherd, and excuse me, Sybil Ludington, because there is a statue of her in New York. She did a Paul Revere. It's just that she did it better, and I'm not taking anything away from Paul Revere. I'm not. But she did a Paul Revere through the night in the rain to alert like 400 militiamen to form up because they had to go to battle. And she made it home through the night, through the rain, got home around sunrise. Paul Revere actually never completed his entire ride. He was stopped by the British halfway through. The amazing thing about Sybil Ludington's ride is that when she rode that night, she was 16 years old. But she's the only one whose name somebody might know.
Yeah, well, thank you for highlighting those great women of history and you know, helping other future generations know who they are. It's great.
Oh, thank you.
And let's talk about your website, you know, fed.ed.us. Now, how did you start? Talk about your genesis. How did you, when did you wake up? What led to it?
Certainly. I will say, you know, go back to December 2010. I am asleep. I am apolitical. And a friend of mine kept banging me on the head. You got to read this book. You got to read this book. You got to read this book. Okay, fine. I got it. It's The Creature from Jekyll Island. It's a 600-page monster. And I can remember sitting down thinking, are you kidding me? I'm supposed to read this whole thing? Well, I did. And somewhere within the pages of that book, I left my slumber. And as a CPA, forensic accountant, I started getting interested in this topic because I can tell you in my college education and post-college education, I didn't have any of this. I found another book. I found a documentary, The Inside Job. So that was my first year of education. Every year I kept seeking out new information, but I never thought I would actually do anything, get active. I was just being the student. Since then, Mr. G. Edward Griffin, who's the writer of The Creature from Jekyll Island, he's become my friend. I got involved with his group, Freedom Force International, Red Pill Expo. And just as time has gone on, I've come to see how our monetary system actually works, how it functions. And when I say that, I'm not talking about economics. I'm talking about how it actually functions. Who creates money? How is it created? Who gets the benefit? Who doesn't? And this system, by its very design, is working perfectly. It's just that it's not working for the benefit of the people. But it's not something that is somebody misused the tool or somehow it got broken in use. No, it's working exactly the way it was designed. And this is what we have to change, because I refer to our monetary system, which includes the Fed and banks. I'm not anti-bank. I like banks. I just don't want them to be the sole creators of our money supply. That's it. I referred to it as domestic enemy number one. And if I may, I'll use one analogy. All right, Casey?
Sure. Go ahead.
If you go to the website and you can get the first six modules, each module is one page, one topic for free. You want to buy the whole thing, it costs a few bucks. But on the cover is a creature called the Hydra. It's a mythological creature, multiple heads sitting on multiple necks. Mythology tells us if you cut off one head, two will grow back, which means, and each head is a serious problem, absolutely serious. But if you're ever going to defeat the Hydra, the creature, you can't do it by taking on the heads, which to me is a metaphor for today. Every head on the Hydra is a serious problem like we have today. And if you go after a problem and you actually defeat the problem, you may create more problems. There's only one way to do it. You have to take the Hydra. And the way to take a Hydra, the mythological creature, is you have to take its sole source of power, what it only has one of, its heart. And the way you take the Hydra's heart is you take its heartbeats. Move that to the monetary system. The way you take the heartbeats, you got to take back the bookkeeping of banking. You've got to return it to the control, the power, and the benefit of the people and not the banking world. So that's why the Hydra is on the front cover of my pamphlet, FedEd.
Okay, and I've been looking through it today. It's really great. And I'll get more familiar with it too. And Rochelle, now you have a bunch of modules. Can you explain how that works essentially?
Yeah, so we did a series of videos and we still have like one or two that we need to finish. And I have do you still have the videos, Alan? I know I have them in my email exchange with you. I'm just not techie, so I don't know how to load them up to YouTube, but I'd love to share them because it was really good conversation that we went through each module and discussed everything that's in FedEd.
Originally, I thought the channel was recording and keeping, but then eventually I make sure that I record all my episodes. So I'll have to go look to see if I actually recorded them. If I did, I will send them to you. And we did.
Awesome.
I think we did it in two episodes, but I've come to learn that because the information, even though it's not really challenging or, you know, it's not like we're dealing with quantum mechanics or astrophysics, but when someone is getting new information, you can hit overload really quick. So in the future, it's going to be in hour formats. I'll do 5 modules an hour. So that will take 3 hours. And then the kicker is module 16, where we get into the bookkeeping of banking. But if I have them, yes, I will get them to you.
I think that's the one that we didn't cover.
We did not get to module 16.
Yeah, correct. Yeah, it was a lot. I mean, it's a lot of information to really absorb. And it's not just understanding banking and money. It's also accepting lies and tyranny from your government, and that this has been going on for longer than our lives, you know, and that it's just accepting this as truth and a horrible, terrible truth. So it's emotional on top of, you know, learning new information on top of it. So it is a challenge.
Absolutely.
And how can people sign up for that, Alan?
Well, I'm working on having I can be contacted via email on my website. So if people were interested in, for lack of a better word, online classes, Zoom classes, I definitely would like to do that. And it would cover, let's say, 1 hour a week for 4 weeks, and get through the first 15 modules. Each module, again, is just one page long. One page, one topic. They all open with a quote. They all end with a takeaway. And then the fourth week would be focusing on how this system actually works at the bookkeeping level and what's the call to action. Because if it's one thing to talk about stuff, it's one thing to, complain, not like, and that's all part of the process. But if we don't come up with the fix, a call to action, and implement it, just figuring out that there's a problem isn't enough. It's definitely not enough. And we can do better. We can do more.
And so, Rochelle, what did you learn? How long did it take you to go into this information, and what was your takeaway?
Well, it was, like I said, it was a lot. And Alan has done such a good job putting it all together. It was very thoughtful. I almost feel like I need to go through it again. Like it was, when did we start it? Like, did we,
it's
has
been
it been
a while.
2 years?
It's been over a year.
It's been a while. Yeah, it's been over a year. And I feel like I need to go through it again. And I mean, I did learn a lot about, you know, the history of money and, you know, what it is. And it's just, I think my biggest takeaway was, it was maddening that this is our system that our country relies on, and that no one knows except for the elites know, and they know because they know it doesn't work for the people. And I know that, like, a lot of people that run in our crowd that are liberty lovers, we understand the concept that taxation is theft. And I've been screaming that from the rooftops for a long time, that we really should just stop paying taxes. But this goes beyond that. This goes so far beyond that that you realize that, yeah, this system is just set up for failure, and there are only a few on the top that actually benefit from this, and it will continue to press us down. And just, we're gonna reach a boiling point. We're so close that this system is going to implode. It's just not going to continue to work. And we know about the Great Reset and Klaus Schwab and the UN and their psychopathic, you know, plan, because they actually know this isn't going to work anymore either. And really what it boils down to is the consent of the governed is what makes this all work. And we're all consenting to be governed by this tyranny and to continue with this system. And if the people just stopped complying, it could change. But that's scary. That's dangerous. That requires preparation, because people could starve and, you know, little wars could spread out throughout our country. So it needs to be thoughtful, but at the same time, it needs to happen. Something needs to happen. Otherwise, we're going to own nothing and be happy about it.
Well, I'm never going to be happy about that. But that is like one of the calling phrases of, yes, you'll own nothing and you'll be happy. They're very serious about the Great Reset. And the Great Reset is about bringing about a one world order. That's the way I understand it. No borders, one centralized control. This is the poster child for tyranny. And what I bring in Fed Ed in Module 17 is what I believe a doable, simple call to action.
Is that the MAR?
No, no, no. That's
okay,
different.
Sorry.
This the call to action is, and I say it this way. I say it two ways. One, if you leave the teenagers home alone for the weekend with the keys to the liquor cabinet, the Corvette, and the credit card, will anything go wrong?
Yes.
I think so. if you were to decide to open a little retail shop and you rent some space, you buy inventory, you advertise, you interview, you hire, and you train your new employees, and it's opening day, you open up the business and you walk away, how good is your business going to do?
Not good at all. Yep.
Thank you. So what do we do in this country? Well, to me, as I've come to learn, our governments, whether it's local, state, or federal, these are our businesses. We, the citizen owners, these are our businesses. And we're not telling our elected employees what to do. The employees are telling us what to do. And they've become so good at telling us what to do at the federal level, for example. Imagine this. You actually get elected to the House or the Senate. You serve for 5 years. 5 years. You can now walk away with a lifetime pension and benefits. Who's telling who what to do? The employees are telling the owners what to do. Mm-hmm. And what have – what? Okay, and somebody's going to come back and say, yeah, Alan, but everything's okay. It really is okay. There's nothing really, really wrong. And what I get to in Fed Ed is that there are three things that I think are absolutely horrendous in our, that come from our monetary system directly, that don't need to be there, and we can get rid of them. But these things are considered to be kind of, oh, they just happen. It's every day. It's normal. It's typical. There's nothing, you know, there's nothing to fix here. Inflation. We have inflation specifically because of this monetary system, which I get into. Federal taxation. You change who creates the money. We, the people, can fund our federal government in a much different way without taxation and without debt. And the debt is, you know, the debt is just incredible. It just, last week, it went over $30 trillion. And for the listeners, just to give you an idea of the magnitude of $1 trillion. $1 trillion. For those who don't know, it's the number one followed by 12 zeros. I'm a numbers guy. That doesn't do anything for me. Then you've got, well, a trillion is 1,000 billion. Wonderful. I still don't get it. So I decided to do the calculations, and I put 1 trillion into what I call understandable units, seconds, inches, and miles. Casey, if you were to live 1 trillion seconds, do you know how old you would be?
No, I don't.
You would be 31,709 years old.
Okay. All right.
That's 1 trillion.
That's a good way to do it.
Okay.
Like that.
So that ain't going to happen. So the next is inches. I mean, we can all process an inch. You can get a ruler and look at it. Rochelle, if you were to walk 1 trillion inches, do you know how far you would walk?
I'm going to say to the moon.
Nah, it's a little farther than that. You would walk a distance equal to 633 times around the Earth at the equator, one lap, 24,500 miles. That's 1 trillion inches. The final is miles. Okay, you're not going to get the seconds. You're not going to get the inches. So you're hoping you're going to get the first trillion-mile frequent flyer card. To fly 1 trillion miles, you will have to fly a distance equal to 107 round trips from Earth to Pluto and back 107 times. That's 1 trillion. Tell me how $30 trillion of national debt, and we're not talking about the unfunded liabilities, we're just talking about the Treasury debt. Tell me how that is payable. It's not.
It's a joke.
You know the name Bernie Madoff, right?
Yes.
Okay. One of the latest, greatest examples of a Ponzi scheme. Well, a Ponzi scheme is considered any investment opportunity, usually presented as a wonderful investment opportunity, that cannot happen because it is not funded by a for-profit business. It's one thing to have a for-profit business and go bust because it just didn't work out. It's another to not have a for-profit business at all. And the first guy that came up with this, who got the name tagged, is Carlo or Charles Ponzi.
Okay, well, and just to let you know, Alan, we're up against a break, so we got
I'll be real seconds. Quick. So okay. the last thing is, tell me what for-profit business the federal government runs that can be used to pay off the national debt of $30 trillion. The answer is none.
Mm-hmm.
Our federal government is running a massive Ponzi scheme.
All right. Well, there's the break. Thank you, Alan. We'll be right back, and we'll continue on the other side of the break here on the White Rose Resistance Hour on RBN.
Truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Did you know that you can be tracked and traced when you're online? With identity theft and cybercrimes on the rise, your passwords, your identity, and even your physical location can be revealed to complete strangers. Would you like to surf the internet anonymously and not have to worry about these threats? Well, now you can by visiting patriotinternet.com. For about $2 per month, patriotinternet.com will conceal your IP address and your physical location, allowing you to browse the web, send emails, and instant message anonymously. Patriotinternet.com will bypass filters, block sites, and keyword blocking. You can also bypass logging by your router and your ISP. With patriotinternet.com, there is no software to install and uses 128-bit encryption for your protection. When using wireless hotspots, patriotinternet.com shields your information from identity thieves and is compatible with Windows, Mac, and Linux. Protect your identity and your freedom with anonymous internet access from patriotinternet.com. Visit patriotinternet.com today.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from simplycleanfoods.net, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters. Right now, Amazon Prime members will receive fast 2-day shipping. Go to simplycleanfoods.net. That's simplycleanfoods.net. But do it today.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
All right, welcome back to RBN, everybody. We have a great show for you today. This is Casey Whalen filling in for Stuart Howe on the White Rose Resistance Hour. And we have Alan Myers. And also I have my co-pilot here, Rochelle Emery. And so thank you, Rochelle, for stepping in today. I really appreciate you coming on today.
Absolutely. It's great. This is great. I'll do this anytime. This is fun. How am I doing? Doing okay?
You're doing great. You're doing great. Yes, great.
Oh,
and
good.
I just want one more time, I want to go ahead and if people want to call in and ask Alan a question about his program that he has, please call in at 512-248-8252. That's 512-248-8252 or toll free if you have to at 1-800-313-9443. And then also let's make sure that we support RBN. It's very important that we do that. You can call into the network, which I'm not going to give you another number because that'll probably just confuse people. But you can send a check or money to order to RBN. That's RBN and send that to 2251 Double Creek Drive, number 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. So hopefully we get some guests to call in and ask Alan some questions about his program. And so, Alan, hopefully in the future, could people email you if they want to, be part of a call with you?
Yes, they can. Go to the website FedEd, FEDED.us, and there's a way to contact me there.
Okay, great. And what's been the reception like as far? I mean, do you actually have a physical book too, or is it just all online?
No, I have a physical one, and if you go to fed-ed.us, if you want to see the first six modules, you can download that for free. If you want the whole pamphlet, about 25 pages long, costs $7. So you can download that. And when I have given classes in the past, everybody in the class gets a copy of Fed Ed.
Okay, great.
And you said that you recommend copies. I was just going to say, I highly recommend everyone have a copy, like a physical copy of it, because like I said, I've read it, the whole thing front and back about twice now, and Alan has been so gracious to like walk me through it with multiple modules, and it still doesn't quite stick. So I highly recommend that people get a physical copy, download it, print it, read it often, and sort of meditate and chew on it, because it's a lot. It's a lot of information. It's thoughtful. It's complex. This is our monetary system that our federal government and the United States relies on. It is a very complex system. It's not impossible to understand, but it's not something. It's not a light read, for sure. So. I think you should have some hard copies to sell, at events too. Have you thought about that, Alan? Like a paperback? I mean, it's pretty small, so it probably wouldn't be too much, but I think that would be good to sell at like the Red Pill Expo and have available to purchase on your website too.
Well, it's on the website. When I do public speaking again, I'll take your suggestion, thank you. And maybe I'll get a table, and that way I can promote the product a little bit more and the education. I will thank you for your comments. I'll tell you, and maybe it's just because I've been with this for so long. To me, it's not complicated. It's just that when you try to absorb something new, a lot new in a short period of time, it becomes just a lot to take in. And perhaps, Rochelle, I'll bring you back on the program, and this time we'll go through it again, but we'll do five modules at a time. And it's less
of a rush. I would love that.
Because
I'm not a numbers girl.
Say what?
I'm not a numbers girl, so it is, I don't want to scare people and intimidate them and think that they can't understand it. It's just, I'm just not a numbers girl. I'm not a money girl. That's always been a challenge for me. So even just going in and having the conversation, knowing that we were going to do these modules together, I remember being a little intimidated. And it wasn't intimidating once I went through it. Maddening, yes. I was very, very angry, but for different reasons. And again, I appreciate being educated on this. And I would love to do the modules again with you, because I feel like even after I've been through it, I still need to be educated further and familiarized with it even more.
Right. Well, thank you. And that's why I've just decided that about an hour's time, depending on the Q&A after each module, is about as much as somebody can absorb. And we can do five modules in an hour, which means the first 15 are going to take 3 hours, and then the last hour, fourth one, is spent on the bookkeeping of banking and the call to action. So, no, okay. I'd be happy to do it.
Would you want to do that with me, Casey? Sorry, you guys, I have to let my bear is scratching on the door. I have to let my dog out real quick, but Bear,
wait a minute, is that
Bear?
Is that Bear?
It's Bear. He misses you. Yeah.
Give Bear a big hug for me, please.
I will. He's scratching at the door. I got to go put him in the side yard. But I did want to say, Casey, it would be really cool if you and I could co-pilot that module. And then that way I know you have it recorded if we wanted to do videos, and it would be saved. And it would be.
Yeah, absolutely. We talked about that.
Series. Awesome.
Sure, absolutely.
I'm going to let my dog out. I'll be right back, you guys.
Okay.
All right. And then, Alan, let's talk about this is going to be very, very interesting, I think, for people. This MAR, the Municipal Accounting Review. Tell us about that.
It's something that a friend and I came up with. The upshot is, just to get to the end, and this would start at a very small local level. If somebody feels that possibly public funds have been misspent, let's say at a school district level, at a small town level, we want to start small and then work our way up. And when this came up, my friend Jenny was saying, well, Alan, I could get you the budget and this and that. I go, no, that's not what I want. As a forensic accountant, what I'm used to looking at, and this is for the kind of work I do and getting ready for trial, I want the bank statements. I want the bank statements, the canceled checks, debit memos, credit memos, wires in, wires out, whatever happened. If you really want to know what happened to the money that went into a public entity, and let's just say a school district for right now, you get the banking records, and you get them on a FOIA request, Freedom of Information Act. And
Alan, can you tell us what you're requesting in that FOIA specifically for other people to do?
The FOIA request, and most school districts are probably on a fiscal year, which means the requests are for the fiscal year, is not a calendar year. Because eventually you might take the information that is gathered and match it up to the records they've actually produced. You want bank statements.
Okay.
Copies of canceled checks. The copies of debit memos, credit memos, wires in, wires out. Information related to any monies deposited. That's the start. If there are payments to a credit card, then you're going to want the credit card statements. And the idea is, if you really want to know where the money came from and how it was spent, you have to look at the banking records, because the banking records are independent, third-party, solid information. Mm-hmm. And maybe there's nothing wrong. Maybe there's no shenanigans. But if you need to prove it, this is the absolute way to prove it.
Okay, and I'm a public record hound, so a lot of people, they don't even know how to do a record request. And I would just suggest for people that are new to doing records requests, there's a great website that I use. It's called the nfoic.org, and that's the National Freedom of Information Coalition. So it's nfoic.org. And then you can look by state, and you can find a sample letter that has the specific state law to do a public record request. And then you would just put in the information that Alan is suggesting and a date range, and that's about it. And you just send it to the department that you want the information from.
And the date range would be, you'd be doing the most recent fiscal year. So it'd be 2021, 2020, 2019 as a start. Mm-hmm. And then depending on what's found, the people might decide to go back further. They could also do this on, let's say, a quarterly basis, so you know nothing's going on going forward. I'm happy to do some of the work. I'm happy to train people, educate people to show how you do this. You just have to be Excel, be proficient in Excel, which is an electronic spreadsheet. Mm-hmm. Because the format is very simple, it's repetitive, and the way I input the original information is taken and put into other spreadsheets and sorted into different ways to be able to clearly see what happened.
Okay.
But if, this is about holding these public entities accountable. I'm working on one right now. It's a small school district. And I am told, when I say small school district, because I've asked about this, I'm told that with all the, you got a high school, junior high, a couple elementary schools, something like that, you maybe have 1,500 students in the whole school district. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Which, I was amazed when I got the main bank statements how much activity was in this one account. And they have four other bank accounts. But what surprised me is we have this small, allegedly small school district. And just round numbers, the bank statement balance when I'm working on, at the end of the month, it's over $1 million. 1.3, sometimes 1.6. And I'm starting to think to myself, how? Why? This is a small school district and they're sitting on $1.3 million? Why? I thought these people were strapped for funds. And this is a small school district.
Wow.
That hydra's getting too fat to feed itself.
Oh, the hydra's fine. It has no weight limit.
And so apparently, one thing too, have you had any issues with public records as far as when I don't really do the types of public records that you do, I suppose, but a lot of the obstacles I will run across is if you make your public records request too general or too vast, you'll generally incur fees because in Idaho, it's the first 2 hours are free or the first 100 pages. And that's why you want to always request electronic documents. But have you ran into that? And what obstacles have you run across doing public records? So I think it's really important for people to understand and try to avoid those pitfalls.
Yeah, you never know what you're going to get until
that's a good point.
I mean, because and the person helping me is keeping track of this, and that is the first request we got basically the information. Another request, they came back and said, well, it's going to cost you X thousands of dollars because we have to redact all this information. And the response was, again, not hostile or anything, just please tell me what information you plan on redacting. Bank account numbers? and so the response went back, no, that is public record information. You don't get to redact that. Depending on who you're dealing with, because, you know, different people in different public settings, one request was acknowledged and returned with, it's going to cost you $17,000. So what? You never know what you're going to get, but you just learn how to negotiate and navigate whatever comes back. But it's the requests are very specific. Send them as PDFs. It's not a big deal. Chances are they don't keep their banking records in paper form. They've already been PDF'd as some electronic form. Copy them and send them. But you just have to deal with whatever comes back in a very respectful, kind way and deal with what they're going to do or what they say they're going to do. But no, there's no redaction here. Sorry.
Well, that's good. Yeah, I'm starting to know. I've done so many records requests across the nation, and actually this is hilarious. I got a record request response yesterday. I want to see what you think about this from the city of Boise. For the mayor's, it had to do with the mayor's emails, but they said any release of public records, textual, audio, video, graphical, pictorial, digital, or otherwise, in response to your record request is not permission. They worded it wrong. You don't have permission from the city to allow you to publish or otherwise make the records in violation of state or federal. Anyways, it goes on. And what do you think about that? That's new to me.
Well, okay. I guess part of it, we got to begin at the beginning. And that is, what does public mean?
Exactly. Yeah.
That's like saying, you know, you go walk in a park and somebody comes up and says, you're trespassing. I'm walking in a public park. I can't be trespassing.
Well, that happened in Idaho, you know, with the
Sarah
Brady.
Yeah, I was just going to say, and yet that happened. A mother was trespassed. A personal friend of mine was trespassed at the playground with a whole group of other moms. The kids were playing. It was a nice spring day. And she got arrested, and she's still going through the court process of this. They have prosecuted her.
2 years.
It's been 2 years now, and it's cost almost. Her family so much money, and it's ludicrous that she could be trespassed in a public at a public park. So
what was the reason for saying she was trespassing? I think I know.
So this was during that madness when COVID first started, and they were closing down the park, and they were taping off the playground equipment like it was some kind of crime scene, which it was, but not for the reason that we would think. And the moms, these are all Health Freedom Idaho moms, right? These are mama bears that we're not going to take it. We're not going to comply. We live in Idaho, and it's been winter, you know, and now that it's springtime, our kids need vitamin D. This is how we're going to keep them healthy, with fresh air, exercise, and sunshine. And they came out, and they took the tape down, and they let the kids play at the park, and the cops got called. And, you know, this particular mom, Sarah, she's a mama bear, too, and you don't want to mess with us mama bears. We're going to fight for our kids, I would use the word feisty, but she wasn't combative. She wasn't looking for a fight.
She just was standing on principle. Yeah,
exactly. Thank you. That's exactly what it was. She wasn't going to back down. It was standing on principle alone that they can't arrest her for being on public property. And they did arrest her and carted her off to jail. And I don't even, do you remember the details of it? I'm not a detail person. And I know that you're familiar with this case too, Casey. Do you remember what they tried to charge her with?
Well, trespassing. I want to say there was something else, but I can't remember. And she just had not the city, but they tried to basically put her through mediation over the whole thing, and she didn't agree to it. So it's still in the court system right now, and she's still dealing with it. So that really tells you where we are. You know, you're trying to use that park as an example, and then, you know, here we are. You know, it's just tyranny is just everywhere right now. It seems just to be getting worse and worse behind the scenes. Especially dealing with public records, because you can kind of gauge across the nation how places treat you, or you know, the situation with the city of Boise is just really unbelievable, you know. So it sounds like they need a lawsuit.
There's a problem down there. Boise is
hey,
a problem.
Casey, yeah. You mind if I just give you my description of a mama bear?
Absolutely.
I think Rochelle knows what I'm going to say.
And
because
yeah.
I've used this term before, and I know a few around the country. So this is my description of Mama Bear. Mama Bear is an easygoing gal. She just cares about her cubs. She's not going to bother anybody. She's a full-figured gal. She's not worried about swimsuit season. She's just going to take care of her cubs. But if you come too close to her, This is not based on a rule, a regulation, any authority. This is based on her understanding of what is too close. You won't outrun her up a hill. You won't outclimb her up a tree. And when she's done with you, she will issue no apologies. Because she's Mama Bear. And Mama Lion, when Mama Lion goes out for food, she kills. What nature tells us is that if you're dealing in nature with an apex predator female, don't. Even the apex predator males know enough. Don't mess with them. And what's happened with humans is we have somewhat. Now, you know, if you take a look at Mama Bear, if you ever, can ever get a picture of one, take a look at her front paws, okay? Look at how big she is, how strong she is. Look at those 5-inch claws, okay? She means business. With the human female, they're not equipped with that kind of authoritative power, but we have somewhat taken that attitude away from the female, which is listen to the guy, do what he says, stay home, this and that. But what I'm finding in the world of activism is more and more women, mama bears, are coming out. And People are going to find out. People are going to find out. Just like in nature, they're not going to ask for authority, and they're not going to give you an apology. They're going to do what has to be done, because there's nothing a mama bear will not do for her cubs. And I'll end with this. Every mama bear out there has three cubs that will never grow up, will never not need her, will always be with her. And their names are Liberty, Freedom, and Rights.
Excellent. Well said.
Right.
That's right. Well, Alan, go ahead and tell me your website one more time, because we're getting towards the end of the show here.
Yeah. Okay. It's fed.us. I'm also, as I said, Sundays, 5 to 7 p.m. West Coast time, I'm on a channel called Patriot Soapbox. My program is called For the Republic. Go figure. And tomorrow, one of my regular guest hosts, Douglas V. Gibbs, who's a constitutional educator scholar, we are going to have a constitutional attorney on. And we're going to have two people who know the Constitution extremely well. One comes from self-study. Another comes from going to law school and being an attorney. And we're going to be talking about the Constitution and what people in law school just don't learn about the Constitution. Because this is, you know, this is a woman who has spent a long time getting educated, did very well in school, and then about 2-3 years ago, she decided to really get involved with the Constitution, and it was quite a learning experience for her.
And what's the website that people can go to?
You go to Patriots with an S Soapbox, and if you click on that, when it comes up, there's a little tab on the right called or labeled DLive. You can click on that, and you can listen or watch the program.
Okay, great. Yeah, I know Randy over there. Really good platform.
You mean Thumper?
Yeah, Thumper. Sorry. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good people. So, yeah, that's great. And then, Rochelle, go ahead and plug your website for Health Freedom.
Yeah, healthfreedomidaho.org, or for right now, healthfreedomidaho.com. We are in legislative session right now in Idaho, and it is very important for Idahoans to engage and look out for calls to action. We have a lot of crumb bills happening right now. They give us crumbs and expect us to be grateful. And we've been calling on the mama bears to contact their representatives and tell them no to the crumb bills. So healthfreedomidaho.com.
Okay, great. Well, thank you, Rochelle. We got to go. The music's playing. I want to thank Alan Myers of fed.us and Rochelle Emery from Health Freedom Idaho. We'll see you next time on the White Rose Resistance Hour.
Thank you very much.
The universe on my hands has written you into the passion play. Skating away, skating away, skating away on the thin ice of a new day.
Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here's a testimonial from Amazon.com. I am only 40, but I have put my body through hell working in manufacturing for 20 years. I recently started to notice a buzzing feeling along with a stuttering sensation with my heart. I had a full cardio stress done, which I passed. I decided to try Extendivite after getting the jingle stuck in my head. Halfway through the bottle, I really did notice a difference. After getting home from work, I would just sit in a chair for a few hours feeling like crap, and this stuff reduced that feeling along with heart discomfort to almost nothing. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.